You can scream and shout with all your might.
Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, sniffle, piss, moan. Look for a safe space. You can shove your opinions up your ass. That way the Trump and Fuhrer's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. How's that happen, you wonder? Simple, because I am the great one himself. I am the founder of the Center for Libertarian Society on the internet since 1999. Podcasting for 12 years. I am right. I have always been right. I will always be right. I am never wrong, except for that one time when I said Hillary Clinton would be the next president. But never, never have I been so happy to be wrong about something. Of course, we have to understand that I don't really have an actual point of reference for this. That was the first and only time I've ever been wrong about something. So for me to say that that was the happiest I've ever been to be wrong, well, but it's the only time I've ever been wrong. So I don't have any kind of data point to compare my happiness to about being wrong, right? When you're only wrong one time ever in 12 years of podcasting. Yeah. God, I'm fucking brilliant. That's why I am the great one himself. I am the founder of Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com. People say, great one, why is it CYNLIBS as a symbol? Because I'm lazy and you're lazy. Nobody wants to type in Cynical Libertarian Society.com. I can't even spell that. I have multiple email addresses, as you know. If you listen to this podcast, which, by the way, this is the 405th episode of Stating the Obvious podcast. We're here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. We'll talk about that a little bit. Today is the 6th of March in the year of our Lord, the Trump and Fuhrer, 2017. In the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy. It's cold and windy outside. This is a great day to not be going outside. And stayed home this morning, got a little bit of shit done. Now we're here, getting a little bit of shit done. I'm going to go back home and in theory get a little bit more shit done. The fuck was I? Oh, yeah, multiple email addresses. One of my email addresses, it's a Gmail, and it's Cynical Libertarian Society. I'm trying to type the shit in to log in, which I don't use it that often. It's for the YouTube account, mostly, which... You know, you have to log into the YouTube so I can see if I've been banned or not yet. Oh, yeah, I got to talk about that. And not, I haven't been banned, but we got to talk about that. And it's like, sometimes it takes me 3 shots to fucking spell Cynical Libertarian Society correctly, right? Nobody wants to type that into a fucking web browser. I wanted CLS.com, but of course CLS was already taken. However, I did get CLS.link, which is where you can go. And then you can find the links to the Amazon.com of books that I recommend. I added some podcasting gear on there. I'm going to add some more podcasting gear in the future when I get around to it. You can go and buy something from Amazon.com and I'll get a percentage. And then look, see, then I don't have to come on here and whine so much about money. Okay, so let me get this out of the way. And if you saw the linkage yesterday, I linked to some videos about this. And I made some commentary. And so there's a whole thing where Twitter has just obviously, not that intelligent people have ever thought social media was some sort of nexus of free speech. Right? People, why are free speech? No, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, they're owned by private individuals, their corporations, they're owned by shareholders, whatever. You ultimately don't really have, and there are people who want to make these arguments that, no, you have to have freedom of speech there because they become so important and it's where people talk about stuff and there's all these other things. And I don't want to dismiss these arguments as just completely meaningless. I mean, there are people who have made this argument about how there must be freedom of speech. And keep in mind, I'm not on the internet. This is different. The concept of, are we going to talk about, freedom of speech on the internet is very different from saying freedom of speech on Facebook. Okay, because Facebook is something very specific. Or the Twitterverse. The Twitterverse is very specific. Now, just to die, and yeah, I do have to finish the book. Oh my God, and I finished the book, ADHD Nation. Oh my, guys. This book, you know, there's some things in here that just fried my fucking brain, man. Holy shitskies. I kid you not. You are going to poop yourself when we do this book discussion and I read some of this shit to you. I did not realize how out of control the ADHD thing is. All right, I'm tangenting way too. Let me close up some brackets here. Freedom of speech on the internet as a sort of general concept, yeah, I'm on board with this. But you have to understand there is no such thing as the internet. Everyone wants to make out like the internet is the answer and the internet is not the answer. No, everyone wants to make out like the internet is this place like real life where you can stand somewhere and have an opinion. But the problem is just like in real life, whether or not you get to have your opinion and express your opinion and get your free speech depends on where you are. For example, let's say that you're at my house and you tell me that you voted for Hillary Clinton. Well, you don't have any more freedom of speech, at least not in my house, but that's because you won't be in my house because I'll be asking you to leave. Okay, where are you? So you get freedom of speech, perhaps in a public area, although we see that's going away. College campuses have safe speech zones or free speech zones or whatever, which of course is an admission that the entire rest of the campus is not a free speech zone. Try exercising your freedom of speech in a college class, right? Having taken college classes, having taken college philosophy classes and having taken these classes 10 years ago, I haven't taken a class at a college in, I guess it's been around 10 years. Let's see, five there, maybe eight since the last one. I don't remember exactly. At least over 5 years. I don't know how much worse it's become. And some of the classes, you could say shit and get away with it. It depends on the professor. In others, like I remember this one class I had with this feminist, this fat feminist teacher. I've talked about her before back in the old days. She was a fat, she was a feminist, she was from the South. She was constantly talking about how everybody in the South is racist. And, you know, you could tell she was just trying to atone for the fact that she was a white woman from the South. And she was doing a good job because she was really fat. And this was in the class, we got on feminism and feminist philosophy, and it is called the philosophical categorization for feminist theory. Well, now I guess it's just feminist theory, but this was many years ago. This was one of the first philosophy classes I ever took at CSU. So this could have been as much as 12 years ago, something in that range. This was a while back. So this was before third wave feminism, as far as I know, anyhow, was a thing. And feminist philosophy was referred to as ethics of care, or what, care ethics, something about caring, because, you know, women care about everybody. And so that was sort of the basis of this philosophical viewpoint, as opposed to like utilitarianism. The basis of this is what creates the most amount of good for the most amount of people. And Kantianism, where the basis of that is that there is the categorical imperative to always do that which is right. Okay, so that's right. With the feminist philosophy at the time, it was called the care ethics or ethics of care. So actually, if you go to the website, there's the tab, Philosophy 101. Ugh, fuck, do I want to talk about that right now? God damn it. See, I have too much to talk about. Fuck. Okay, the reason the Philosophy 101 tab is up there, that has in it a link to all the materials in PDF format that I presented to my philosophy discussion group, who many, some of the people told me that the reading that I gave them was too fucking difficult. So the point is, you can read this and find out how stupid average people are. But here's the thing. Now, if you have an understanding of philosophy, you don't really need this. Well, you don't need anything. I'm not the fucking dictator of Ancapidice. I'm not telling you you need a fucking thing. The reason I put it up there and I'm pimping it is this, is if you don't understand basic mainstream philosophy, right? So for example, when I say to you, utilitarianism, Kantianism, nihilism, Hobbesian, right? If I say to you the Hobbesian worldview, right? And you have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. The reading material there is, it's really not that hard. Again, guys, if you listen to this podcast, you're more than smart enough to understand everything over there. It ain't that fucking hard unless you're stupid. None of it is complicated. Almost all of it was taken from textbooks or handouts I got in philosophy classes in 100, 200, 300 level philosophy classes. These are things that are understood by 18, 19, 20 year old kids. Or at least they were. I don't know if 20 year old kids can understand it now. I think there is a little bit of material in there from some of my 500 and 600 level classes. But none of this is, so this is, if you don't know what those words mean, there's enough stuff here that you can read this and you can have a basic understanding of what I will call, for lack of a better term, mainstream philosophy. The sort of words that anybody versed in philosophy is going to use. Like I said, utilitarianism, Kantianism, Hobbesian, right? These are three of the most influential schools of philosophy. Doesn't mean they're right, because they're not, but the point is you can understand, right? So Kantianism says you always do what's right. Even, right? Kantianism is the one that says when there's a knock on the door and you open the door and it's the Nazis, and the Nazis say, "Are there any Jews hiding in your house?" You're not supposed to lie, ever. You're supposed to say to the Nazis, "Yes." And then they're going to say, "Well, how many Jews?" And you're going to say, "Four." And the Nazis are going to say, "Well, where are they?" And you're going to say, "They're in the attic," because you're not supposed to lie. Of course, anybody with common sense knows that the Nazis knock on your door and ask if they're Jews. You fucking lie. Okay? Kantianism, some good ideas there. It's worth understanding, but doesn't work. Utilitarianism is the one that says, "Well, you should do whatever makes the most people happy." Happiness! And we can measure happiness. Yes, it actually asserts that happiness can be measured, like you measure inches. You can quantify happiness and measure it. No, you can't. Also, that which makes the most people happy is nowhere near right. I give to you democracy. And then Hobbesian theory. Thomas Hobbes is the one who said that life is nasty, brutish, and short. Thomas Hobbes is the one who said that if there were no government, everybody would be running down the streets, except there wouldn't be any streets because you can't build roads without government. But Hobbes is the one who said without the government, people would just run around killing and raping each other and burning everything down. So when you hear that bullshit from statist, that's Hobbesian, right? So all of this stuff, philosophy 101, it's there. Go understand it. Now, how did I get to philosophy 101? Where the hell was I that we even arrived there? Mm-hmm. Right? Hang on. I'm finishing a Pyramid Apricot Ale from, is it from Pyramid? Is that the name of the brewing company? Yeah, Pyramid Brewing. It's one of my favorite apricot ales. And I'm about to open a Funkworks Mango King. As soon as I figure out what I did with the bottle, there it is. Put it in my pocket. No wonder I can't find it. All right, hang on. I got to open a beer. And I gotta figure out how the hell I got on philosophy. And I have to not spill the beer while I'm opening it. These are the many challenges that face. These are the many first world problems I have to deal with. Oh yeah, free speech. And god damn. Okay. It's going to be a long day. It's going to be a long podcast. Actually, it's not. It's going to be a normal length podcast. Okay. Free speech. Free speech zones. Saying things in philosophy classes. My brain finally kicked in. So I'm in this philosophy class. It's an intro. I'm pretty sure it was a 100 level. Might have been a 200 level. With the fat woman from the South who hated white people and had all this guilt about racism. And we're talking about feminist ethics and how women want equality and stuff. And I'm like, look, and this guy, this was way before I ever heard of Manosphere. I was not an anarcho-capitalist at the time. I was beta male as fuck. And I take pride in looking back at the days when I was beta male as fuck and seeing that even then I had moments where I could briefly come out of being beta male as fuck. And I'm like, all right, you know, I was stupid, but you know, the underlying intelligence was there. It just didn't surface very often because of the societal conditioning, which I am now doing a fairly good job of breaking. But like all humans, I am flawed and sometimes societal conditioning still kicks in. So I'm beta male as fuck. And I remember we're talking about this and I don't know exactly how we got there, but somehow or another we got to, you know, women wanting to get married. And I remember there was this girl in the class. She was 18, 19 at the most. And she said, yeah, and obviously I'm paraphrasing. Don't remember word for word. But what she said was, yes, I'm really conflicted about this because I consider myself a feminist. And I don't know if she said I consider myself a feminist, but she's like, I'm very into equality and not gender roles and that sort of thing. And then she said, but at the same time, I sometimes just sit around and I just dream about my wedding day and how great it's going to be to get married and how wonderful that's going to be and how it's going to make my life complete to get married. And yet I know how that's at odds with this other part of me that's saying, yeah, you know, I'm seriously paraphrasing, you know, where she's saying, well, on one hand, she's like, I can do anything a man can do. You go, girl. But at the same time, she was saying, yeah, and this is what I call, this is actual, right, ambivalence that we have. It's the, like, I talk about it myself with me. It's like with an aircraft carrier. Aircraft carriers, giant waste of money, murder people, all this other shit. Aircraft carriers should not exist. The same time, as a boy, I look at an aircraft carrier and I get a hard on because it's like, oh my god, that is one of the fucking most amazing giant piece of technology. And like these days, one fucking nuclear Nimitz class aircraft carrier can fucking conquer an entire goddamn nation, you know? It's just like, oh, I want to whack off. It's so fucking cool. At the same time, it's this terrible, evil waste of resources that allows the state to oppress people. So I get it. When she says, on one hand, I want to be you go girl, I can do anything. And on the other hand, she's just sitting around going, I can't wait to get married and my life will be perfect because it will be so wonderful to be married and I'll look so good in my dress. And this is what people in Manosphere talk about with women about they can't overcome their biological programming. And that's it's no, you're biologically programmed to find men and spit out babies. You can pretend you're not all day long, but you are. You can pretend gender was created to oppress you, but no, you want to spread your legs for an alpha male. Right now, that alpha male would be Donald Trump. All the women involved in this billion bimbo bitch march, they're just running around trying to get Donald Trump to impregnate them. Right? They just want to be impregnated by the alpha male. That's what women want. Biologically speaking, and you can fucking take as many feminist classes as you want, and you can walk around with your titties hanging out, which is now legal in Fort Collins. You can do whatever the fuck you want. Ultimately, The reason you exist as a biological organism is to spit out babies. Just like the reason I exist as a biological organism is to shoot cum inside you so that you can spit out babies. You can pretend that's not true. You can pretend the patriarchy is oppressing you. You can pretend that Donald Trump is Hitler. You know, you can pretend that Obama is the Messiah. You can pretend whatever the fuck you want to pretend. Your job is to spread your legs, take my cum, and then turn it into a baby. That's your job. God, that'd make a great bumper sticker. Okay. So we're talking about feminism, and somehow we got to, you know, women and men working and everything, and how it must have been something along the lines of women staying home and men working, and probably how oppressive this was. And I, you know, raise my hand and I say, hey, look, I'm a man, and any of you women want to get married and you go out and work and I will stay at home? I am completely okay with that. Let's talk. How many women in here are interested? We will get married. I will stay home. I will clean. I will cook. I'll take care of the kids. You go to work. How many women are interested in this? The fucking fat feminist teacher almost lost her fucking mind. She literally told me to stop talking. I don't remember. It was a rude tone of voice. I remember that. I don't remember the exact words. Like, I don't think she said, shut the fuck up. But the tone of voice and the delivery made it very clear that I needed to stop talking about this. So where you have freedom of speech in the real world is dependent upon where you're standing in the real world. Where you have freedom of speech on the interwebs is dependent upon where you're exercising this freedom of speech on the interwebs. And I know there are arguments against what I am saying, and some of them are very intelligent arguments. They're well formulated. They're very thoughtful. But ultimately, sorry, guys. If you're on Facebook, no, you don't have freedom of speech. Facebook is not there so that you can have freedom of speech. Facebook is there to make money. Twitter is not there for you to have freedom of speech. Twitter is there to make money, and they're not even doing that. Social media platforms do not exist so that you can have freedom of speech. Now, I know right now Gab AI and Minds.com are really hot. Guys, those platforms are not being created so that you can have freedom of speech. Those platforms are being created so that ultimately the people creating them can make money. This is not evil. This is a fact. In yesterday's linkage, I posted a video from Dave Cullen talking about how some of his videos on YouTube have been demonetized, and essentially he's cyber begging. And then I saw some posts from Aaron Cleary, who, oh my God, do I want to talk? Oh God, all right, hang on, I gotta make a note. How can I have all this shit all over the place and not a fucking piece of paper in sight? Randy, who's going to clean up in here? Yes. I know it's my domain. Okay, I got this. And hold on. Oh, shit, I got to do math. Oh, I'm going to be oppressed. The patriarchy is oppressing me. Hang on. So that would be... So that's okay. Okay. Aaron has posted about how he's going to have to abandon SoundCloud because SoundCloud is not making any money. It might go under. And then there's other problems with SoundCloud for when it comes to podcasting, all this other stuff. You know, and this is one of the very few areas where I do think, rightly or wrongly, that I'm a little bit ahead of many other people in the world, right? I'm ahead of most of you on anarcho-capitalism. I'm ahead of most of you on how many years I've been podcasting. And I'm ahead on most of you in this very fucking simple understanding of don't rely on other people to fucking disseminate your opinion for you. Guys, get your own fucking website. Like Dave Cullen. So he's like, well, YouTube's taken, they demonetized my videos, and I need you to donate money to me. It's like, hey, Dave, why don't you just get your own fucking website? Right? Put your own videos on your fucking website. I guess, okay, maybe it's harder. Okay, it's harder to monetize your own website than it is to put your shit on YouTube and let YouTube monetize it for you. But, just like a goddamn woman who can't fucking do anything for herself and needs a social safety net, you're relying on other fucking people. And when when the YouTube dries up, right, when the YouTube doesn't make money anymore selling people's personal information, when the YouTube demonetizes your videos, when the advertising scheme that is the internet falls through, if you're going to beg me for money directly, and so, okay, look, there's a difference here too. I think there's a difference between making money on advertising and just asking for money. Like, for example, as far as I understand it, I have not given him money. But my understanding of Stefan Molyneux's thing is you go to the Free Domain Radio, whatever, and you pay and you get access to additional stuff, perhaps? I don't know. But the point is, you're not going there, as far as I know, because I don't really go to freedomainradio.com. I just RSS his stuff. So I don't really see anybody's websites, right? I RSS everything. I RSS YouTube. It's like, I don't see Dave Cullen's YouTube channel. The video shows up in my feed. It's downloaded to my computer. I watch the video at my convenience, which again is very important, guys, especially with YouTube with their censorship. Get the YouTube videos in your RSS feed. Update it frequently, because there are multiple times that videos have been removed from YouTube. But I still have the video, because it's downloaded to my hard drive. I'm not dependent on YouTube leaving the video up there. Now, of course, since I'm not watching the video on YouTube, the people on YouTube are not getting any advertising revenue because of me. So there's advertising. There's making money via the advertising model, advertising framework. And then there's making money versus the what I will call direct sales framework, which is where you say, like, I was checking out Tom Likas. It looks like, because Aaron Clary's always recommending Tom Likas. I've never listened to Tom Likas. It's like, well, fuck, I need to go fucking listen to Tom Likas. Right. And apparently, from what I can see, Tom Likas has the same thing. You pay him money on his website and you get access to the audio files. Now, he may have advertising and all this other stuff, but you give him money, he gives you shit. So for all those of you who are whining about how YouTube is demonetizing you, well, get your own guy. Because here's the thing, and I say this just in total sincerity. I think Dave Cullen's a very smart guy. If you don't know who he is, he's on YouTube, Computing Forever. He's got some great videos. He did a very interesting video where he talked about Stefan Molyneux had talked about how if aliens come to Earth, it would be capitalism and all this free trade and everything like that. And Dave Cullen did a very good response video where he said he didn't think so, and his reasons were excellent. And I'm very, very, very much compressing a bunch of material. Okay, so understand that. Dave's point was, well, look at humans and cows, right? We don't negotiate with cows. We don't trade with cows. We kill the cows and we eat them. And Dave's thing was, look, any aliens who come here, they're going to be so far advanced beyond us, they're going to have no interest in trading with us. They may not even regard us as being intelligent. And his arguments and evidence and reasoning are much more expansive than just what I just blurted out. But he's a great video. And I'm like, shit, you know, he's got a really fucking good point. So Dave Cullen does some fantastic work. Okay, get a goddamn website and charge me $10 a month to access your stuff. I'd be willing to go for that. You know what I'm not going to go for? What I'm not going to go for is donating money to your fucking Patreon account. Because Patreon, just like YouTube, doesn't give a fuck about you. Patreon takes their percentage because they're in it to make the money. Like, I'm serious. How can you smart people be this fucking dumb? I'm not trying to insult you. I am asking a serious question. How can you smart people, very smart, Dave Collins, a very smart person from what I can tell. How can you be this goddamn dumb? Why do you need somebody else to sell the advertising and give you a percentage, or to take the donations and give you a percentage of the money people are donating to you? That's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. Give money to Patreon, and then Patreon will give a percentage of that money to me. Dude, have you just fucking, guys. I mean, all right, I understand I'm old. I get it. Have you ever heard of a check? Checking accounts, okay? Get a goddamn post office box and tell people, you can send me a check. Make the check out to Dave Cullen. Write in whatever amount you want. People can mail you a fucking check. You get the money directly. You take the check to this place called a bank. Stay away from Wells Fargo. And you give it to them, and they put it in your checking account, and you have money. And nobody gets a percentage. Well, except for the bank, if you have a shitty bank. Like, well, we have checking fees. You have to pay a fee every month to have a checking account. Go to a credit union. God damn it. I'm serious about this. How can smart people be so fucking stupid? This is a serious question for all of you out there who have your fucking Patreon accounts and all this other shit. How can you be as smart as you are and so fucking stupid? If you said to me, great one, you can send me a check. There are many of you out there, I would write you a check for 20, 30, 40, 50 bucks. Mail it to you. But I'm not going to donate to your fucking faggot Patreon account. Because I'm just not that fucking gay. How do you donate? You got to give Patreon what? Your bank account number? You have to give them a credit card number? I mean, it's not like you just go there and they magically give away. It's like, no, I'm not going to put my fucking personal financial information in one more goddamn website on the fucking internet that can get hacked. How can you people be this smart and this stupid? And on the other side, we have the other thing you could be using, Bitcoin. If you're fucking serious about making some fucking money with your goddamn fucking videos or podcast or wherever the fuck it is, now that we'll come back to advertising in a minute because I got to say something about that too. If you don't have a post office box where I can send you a check and you don't have a Bitcoin address, I have to assume that you're fucking either lying about wanting to make money or you're just fucking dumb. That's all I got for you. It's that goddamn simple. I am not fucking sending money to a goddamn third party where I have to put my fucking credit card information on a fucking website that's gonna fucking get hacked, and then the fucking third party takes a fucking percentage of my fucking money and fucking gives you the fucking leftovers. And if you think that's a good deal, I'm sorry, but you're fucking stupid. You're just fucking stupid. You might be right about the aliens, Dave. That was an excellent video. You made some fucking spectacular points that made me stop and think and go, oh shit, those are some good fucking points. But you don't know jack shit about getting money from people. Advertising. Now in the advertising model, I think there's two kinds of advertising that are very distinct from each other. There is what I will call, because I'm making all of this up as I go along, and of course we're 35 minutes into the podcast, and none of this is what I was going to talk about, because, fuck, oh my God, oh yes, first world problems. You know what I love about first world problems? I am in the capital of first world problems. So I'm listening to Adam Piggott's podcast because I read his book, Pushing Rubber Downhill. I have his second book. It's, what the hell is it? Pull cones? Fuck girls? No, drink booze, screw women? Fucking rafting and boozing and fucking. Pull cones. I'm certain. Just kidding. It's Adam Piggott's second book. It's on Amazon.com. I'm advertising right now for him. See, great one. Didn't you just say advertising sucks? Yeah, but Adam's not fucking paying me, even though he should be, the little fucking bastard. But he's Australian. So, you know, they're kind of backwards over there. I'm just kidding. Just kidding, man. Just kidding. Anyway. I'm binging on the Adam Piggott podcast because I had been RSSing them and downloading them to my computer where I don't have to worry about them getting deleted by whatever third party he's relying on because he didn't put them on his own fucking website, Adam, you moron. Does he use Sound? I think he uses SoundCloud also. I can't remember for sure. See, the thing, I don't even know because I RSS it shows up. Yeah, I don't care. Until, of course, it doesn't show up anymore. So I'm binging, catching up on Adam Piggott's podcast because I want to talk about his book, Pushing Rubber Downhill. And I thought, well, if I'm going to do a podcast about the book, I want to talk about his podcast also, but first I have to listen to the podcast. So I'm binging on Adam Piggott podcast right now. And in the most recent one I just listened to, which I think was number 23, but I could be wrong about that. He was talking about social justice warriors and the fact that these are essentially people who have too much free time. And I'm nodding my head and going, yeah, exactly. This is where so many of our problems in this country come from. This is the problem. You, and by you, I mean heterosexual white men with jobs, work really hard for thousands of years to get civilization to this level of prosperity. And having arrived at that level of prosperity, suddenly most people have an excessive amount of free time. Now, people who are intelligent, or we could say arrogant, cocksucking bastards, fill that free time with things such as podcasting. We won't mention any arrogant, cocksucking bastard podcasters that you might be listening to right now who fill their free time with podcasting. Or maybe they fill their free time with trail running or bike riding or reading books or learning to color. So I'm attempting to learn to color. You're probably, half of you out there just went, that's the gayest fucking thing I've ever heard. That's fine. I can handle it. I'm a grown man. This is the rage now, right? Adult coloring books. See, once again, I was ahead of the curve. I've had coloring books for years, like little kid coloring books and my crayons, and every once in a while, not very often, but I was like, I just need a little relaxational de-stress. Just sit down, like, just color a picture of a cat. Oh, look, here's a picture of a fire truck. I'm going to color this fire truck like I'm 4 years old or 6 years old or however many years old you are when you color fire trucks. I don't know. I don't remember. But yes, crayons, coloring books, I'd sit there and color. Yeah, some people like to knit. I like to color. So then the adult coloring books became a thing. And it's like, all right, let me buy a couple of these. And so I got some that have like scantily clad girls in it. I'm not making this up. They exist. Amazon.com. There's like the goddess coloring book where it has all these goddesses, most of whom are kind of hot looking. I mean, as hot looking as you can be when you're a fucking black and white line art drawing, as opposed to a real person who majors in engineering, to harken back to the story of the last girl I was talking to. Well, not the last girl I talked to. The last girl I talked to that I would bang. So anyhow, coloring. I'm pretty decent at this. Also, I'm not using crayons. I'm using pencils. So this is more artist level coloring, as opposed to the little kid coloring I do at the crayons, which is fun and therapeutic, but not exactly art. So I'm trying to figure this out. And the one thing I cannot get, I suck at it, is skin tones. I don't know how to make the skin tones work. Like, I don't know what colors to chew, and it's the roughest part. Like, objects, I can do some fucking coloring like a motherfucker on the objects, on the clothing, but skin tones are killing me. Now, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about, just me tangenting. So this is what happens when you have too much free time, right? You take up coloring. You play computer games. Not that I've played any computer games lately. I'd like to. I'd really love to sit down and play some computer games. I don't have time. As Adam pointed out, social justice warriors are people with too much free time. We, heterosexual white men who work for a living, by elevating Western society, have created the circumstances under which people can have too much free time. And because there are many people out there who are not very intelligent, not mentally well adjusted, just don't have social skills, don't have hobbies, don't have passions, aren't willing to spend time learning new things like how to color, these people have too much free time and they become social justice warriors. And it's this excessive amount of free time which is where political correctness, social justice warring, and first world problems come from, such as, for example, here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. Previous two episodes, I will do a third episode. I'm going to wait because tomorrow is the day that the local city government is going to vote on whether or not they will make it illegal to recline in a chair on public property. Whether it will be illegal to sit on a sidewalk. And these, my friends, this is how you know you've made it. When you live, I live in a society, I live in a city where the problems that are facing us, the biggest problems we have in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, are that women have to wear a fucking shirt and a bra when they're outside, that people smoke cigarettes outside, and that some people sit down on the sidewalk and occasionally recline on a bench in a public area. I mean, these are serious fucking first world problems. And the fact that this is what we, the royal we, the citizens of the People's Republic of Fort Collins, via democracy, via our representational government, right? This is what we're concerned with. You know why we're concerned with that? We're concerned with that because I can walk to the faucet right now and turn the knob and clean drinkable water comes out. It's because I have electricity. It's because we have roads. We have supermarkets. We have internet. None of us are worried that at any particular moment, a flying robot built by the United States military industrial complex might appear up in the sky, fire a missile at us, and kill us. These are first world problems, my friends. And you know what? Having first world problems is fucking glorious. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm so goddamn happy that I have first world problems. At the same time, the wonderful first world problems I have are that which create the openings for the social justice warriors to show up and fucking destroy the civilization that my heterosexual white male ancestors who worked for a living fucking created. Now you say to me, great one, what does that have to do with free speech and advertising on the internet? The answer is absolutely fucking nothing. Let's get back to advertising on the interwebs. You're going to advertise on the interwebs. There's two different frameworks for doing this. There's what I'm going to call the shotgun and what I'm going to call the targeted, because I'm making this up as I go along. I don't have any notes. Even if I did, actually, I do have notes. They're over there. I haven't even picked them up. I haven't talked about a fucking thing on my notes yet. shotgun advertising is what YouTube does. You show up and use, and I don't even see the fucking advertisements because I use Firefox and I use an ad blocker. I go to YouTube, I don't see the advertisements. Every once in a while, I'll go to YouTube in another web browser that doesn't have the ad blockers, and I'll click on this video and this like thing comes. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I realize, oh yeah, there's advertisements on YouTube. I just never see them. I never see advertisements on Facebook, partially because I hardly ever go on Facebook, but even when I do, the ad blocker filters them out. Okay, that's just scattered. That's shotgun. That's shotgun advertising. You go there and you see a video. I mean, what are the video advertisements on YouTube for? Again, I honestly don't know because I've never seen them. On the rare occasions they pop up, I'm like, how do I get through this? I mean, do they advertise like what? Cars? I mean, ADHD medication? I mean, what are they advertising? It's not targeted at me. It's nothing I'm interested in. Right, so that kind of shotgun advertising, at some point, the bottom's got to drop out of that. And it is just, it's, I think it's a terrible idea to rely on that for your income. Now, targeted advertising, as an example, if you go to Aaron Clary's site, captaincapitalism.blogspot.com, he has advertisements there, right? He has advertisements for his own books. If you click on it, it takes you to Amazon via his affiliate link. He makes some money. But he also has advertisements for products that he endorses. I am assuming, because I mean, I don't have access to Aaron Clary's fucking bank account or anything, but I'm assuming that these people have paid him to have those ads on his site, or maybe they're just really good friends, you know, or whatever. But the point is, he's selective about what he's got on there, right? He's got like Arini's book, he's got Glorious Hat from Glorious Carl, you know, for a while there, he had the silver and gold purchasing, whatever. But all of these things, though, because this advertising is curated by a specific person, Mr. Clary, they're aimed at the interest of the people who are going to come there. Now, that kind of advertising, maybe it doesn't make as much money as the shotgun advertising on YouTube, but it makes more sense, right? That kind of advertising, I'm not going to rag on you for. The shotgun advertising with fucking pop-ups and fucking YouTube commercials and shit. Yeah, that I'm going to call you a fucking idiot. Now, speaking of Aaron Clary and Dave Cullen, let me wrap this. Let me see if I can get this in. Randy, what do I got on time? Okay, challenge accepted. Here we go. Watching a Dave Cullen video, and he's talking about Generation Z. See, we got a new generation, Generation Z. According to Dave, Generation Z is a generation born between 1995 and 2010. And according to Dave Cullen, research has shown that this generation is more conservative than the fucking social justice warrior fucking millennials. And this generation might be saving us. And I'm watching this video and I'm thinking to myself, okay, first of all, and Generation Z supposedly saves more money. I'm thinking to myself, now hold on, if you're born in 1995, you're 22 years old. If you were born in 2010, you're 7. First of all, there is no way you can fucking tell me that 7-year-olds are more conservative and save more money than millennials. I mean, you can say that, but I'm going to have to laugh at you. 22-year-olds, you might be able to come to this conclusion. But guys, once again, as I've said before, when you're a teenager, you're dumber than fuck. And when you're 22, you're still close enough to a teenager that you're just dumber than fuck. So I'm watching this video with a great degree of skepticism because it's like, no, these are the people in college right now. I know a whole bunch of people, 18 to 22, and they're not any smarter than the 23 and up. They're social justice warriors. I don't know where you're getting this distinction from. I fire up the RSS reader today so that, you know, when your blog is taken off the internet, I still have all of your posts in my RSS reader because they're all saved to my computer. Haha, take that, censorship. And lo and behold, there's a post from Aaron Clary, captaincapitalism.blogspot.com, talking about Generation Z. I didn't read it because I read just enough to see that he was pointing out the exact same thing, that all this shit about how Generation Z is going to save us from the millennials is obviously bullshit. And so I stopped reading only because I wanted to talk about this on the podcast, and I did not want Aaron Clary's take on it to influence mine, because I didn't want to just come, you know, be like, oh, I'll get all his points and just come here and repeat them. And hopefully I will have something different to say, such as the fact that you can't figure out the fucking political affiliations of seven-year-olds and sit here and tell me that seven-year-old kid. No. So, no, look, Generation Z, they're not the fucking new messiahs. They're not the saviors. They're not going to save us from the millennials. They're walking, and then the whole thing of Generation Z is the first generation that's never known a world without the internet. Okay, that doesn't make them smarter. I've explained this to you guys. If you give a monkey the internet, you don't get a smarter monkey. You just get a monkey that has an internet connection. Generation Z, yeah, they've spent their entire life staring at the internet. They're not any smarter. They're not any more capable. They're not going to fucking, you know, rise up and throw down against the fucking social justice warriors and the millennials. Most of Generation Z, in fact, is being put on ADHD medication, as I will be talking about when I talk about the book ADHD Nation, and they're having their brains destroyed. They're not the saviors. They're not going to make anything better. We're fucked. I don't bother with the other side. I'm always right. Oh! Yes! See? I finished before the closing music. Yeah, baby.